Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone back to LI in the AM. Frank McKay here, filling in for Jay Oliver. And I have with me a wonderful author, and she is a philosopher, and she is she's just wonderful. Her book is a must-get for everyone. It's called Ransom Notes, Moments of Reflection, Courage, Engagement, Worship, and Humor. And it is absolutely terrific. Everyone's got to get it. It is one of my favorite books, and it is inspirational. It's wonderful. The author is Catherine Ransom. And you could hear some past shows I've had on Breaking It Down and her own show, Catherine Ransom Show. And you can hear them on about 100 outlets out there. And Catherine is our very special guest. Catherine, how are you?
I am just fine, Frank. It's an overcast day here in Springfield, Illinois. But we had a great time yesterday at Thanksgiving. Unfortunately, it was a very, very different day, Frank, than we normally have. For about 40-some years, my housemate and I have invited her family, who live in five different states from Florida, Iowa, to Ohio, to come, and we would have as many as 30 to 40 guests.
Wow.
And guess how many we had yesterday?
None.
Two.
Oh, two. Oh, wow.
Two. Marianne and... There were just the two of us, and the guest was the turkey.
Wow.
So we enjoyed it, and we took opportunities to stop and think about things for which we were thankful. One of the things is we were thankful that neither of us have the virus, and that's a wonderful thing to be, because I feel so sorry for families who perhaps even can't be together, but they also know one of the members of their family are quite ill. These have been troublesome days, and it's great that we have the Lord to rely on to take care of us.
Well, listen, we have a lot to be thankful for. This could be a much worse Thanksgiving. I know you had open-heart surgery not long ago, and I have stents, and I'm not comparing them to, you know, I have five stents, but I'm not comparing them to what you went through. You were cut open, and they cleaned you out and did all of that, and you're doing great. You're doing wonderful. But again, it's a scary time. So this is your first Thanksgiving since you had open heart surgery. You've got to be thankful that you're here.
I am incredibly thankful for that. 2 days ago, I went to see the neurologist, not the neurologist, the cardiologist. They all have funny names.
Yeah.
The cardiologist. And I think he, if I understood him correctly, thinks that I'm doing quite well. I tell everybody I'm as mean as I used to be, so that's good news. And I even spent 3 hours raking leaves a couple of days ago. That should say my heart must be beating all right. And yesterday after Thanksgiving dinner, I walked a mile down the lane at a brisk pace. So God has been good. And I have a new heart and two new knees. And that's not too bad for an 85-year-old to be doing those kind of things.
Now, listen, you're doing terrific. And again, your book is unbelievable. It's funny. It's uplifting. It's inspirational. It's poignant. It's all the things that you would hope would be there. And you've got to be you've got to be grateful for the way it came out and all of that. A lot of things to be grateful here. But think back, right? You've had 85 Thanksgivings now, and yesterday was your 85th. None like this, right? I mean, none where you have to worry about a person coming into your house and infecting them, or you infecting her or him or whatever. I can't imagine last year, if you and I were talking at this particular moment last year, and I said to you, hey, I just came back from the future, Catherine, and guess what? 2020 is a chaotic year. In fact, there's a worldwide pandemic, a global pandemic. And next year at Thanksgiving, we're going to be sitting there, and it's just going to be you and Marianne and nobody else is going to be able to come because we're all worried about getting sick. And you would look at me like, get out of here. What are you talking about? You know, you would never believe that in a million years. Think of where we are and think of what's going on. And by the way, there's light at the end of the tunnel, right? They're talking about vaccines and they sound pretty hopeful. And actually, before you respond to that, let me remind people, you're listening to LI in the AM. Frank McKay again filling in for Jay Oliver. Don't worry, he'll be back on Monday. We're here with the author of Ransom Notes. Everyone buy this book, Ransom Notes, Moments of Reflection, Courage, Engagement, Worship, and Humor. Frank McKay here with Catherine Ransom. Think about it, right? I mean, you never would have dreamt anything like this would happen. But do you see light at the end of the tunnel?
I think that this is just a really troubled times, but I'm trying to change my focus, Frank, from trying, and I'm not always successful, to instead of being grumpy and unpleasant about the challenges of not being able to go to a restaurant and not being able to have 40 guests for Thanksgiving and all of that. I'm trying to switch the pendulum to say, but let's also praise the Lord and thank him for the wonderful gifts that we have. And I would hope that as people continue on through, which appears to be that we may have several more months of this, that we switch that pendulum to praise from grumpy Kathy to celebrating the Lord, even though I know we're going to have moments of fear and darkness and uncertainty. And I don't know what you do, Frank, when you have a moment of fear, but I'd just like to share one that I had. Obviously, when I was having my heart surgery, there were lots of moments when, before they cut in, was I going to still be Catherine? And after, when they couldn't get my blood pressure down, what's going to happen? And I trusted the Lord, and I knew there's heaven. But I have to admit, there were moments when I was really sort of afraid. But I had another one experience. The other night, we were very carefully going to a restaurant where we were outside. We were spread out. But we were going back to the car. I'm just about ready to get into the car. And it's a windy day. Very windy. And suddenly, a gust of wind blows the door so hard against my body that I flip around. And I just know I'm going to fall down just like I had done one other time after my heart surgery and smash my face. And I'm trying to frantically grab the car so that I won't fall down. And by the time I finally get control, I'm clear back to the tail light. And I put my head on the bumper and my housemate comes around and check and see if I'm okay. And she asks, what's wrong? I said, I was just afraid. And then I say to myself as I stand up, but the Lord was with you. And I think of the passage that is in James, the first chapter. And if you sort of remember, it was, I'm just going to share a bit of that. Consider it pure joy when you face a trial. And I did. I sort of faced a trial. I thought I was going to fall because the one who doubts is like a wave in the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. And I thought, I'm one that's being tossed by the wind. And James says, don't do that. We have to believe and have faith, and I'm fine. The next day I had two big bruises where the door hit my shoulder, but I wasn't hurt. I didn't fall down. And isn't it great when we can be afraid for just a moment, but then it's almost like you feel God's arms sort of moving around, hugging you and saying, okay, Kathy, get up and get going and put a smile back on your face and don't be grumpy.
Yeah, well, listen, you know, again, you're a person of great faith, as anybody could hear, and it's just wonderful. It's wonderful that you're thinking about all of these things in a positive light. I spoke to you right after your surgery, and you were talking just so positively. There's not an ounce of self-pity in you. There's not Not seemingly, anyway. I mean, I haven't seen it. I haven't noticed it in all the conversations that we've had. But it's just, it's amazing. And I guess we all have to stay positive. And, you know, look, people of faith and people of different faiths, you know, deal with it all differently. And I think it's appropriate that we're talking about this on, you know, on here we are, Black Friday. I mean, everyone's talking about shopping and everyone's talking about this. And we're talking about the Thanksgiving that just passed yesterday and all of these things that that could have gone wrong that just didn't. I mean, even that, I mean, you could have easily, I mean, you're 85 years old and you're a strong, young 85 years old, but, you know, you could easily have had a total disaster from that. And yes, you got scared for a moment, but you're okay. You're here and you're okay, and you're here to talk about it and pass it on. And again, Ransom Notes is the book. Everyone's got to get it. And again, just a wonderful read. One of my favorite books. You all have to get it. Catherine Ransom is here with me, Frank McKay, filling in for Jay Oliver on AM, LI in the AM. And again, he'll be back. He'll be back next week. Short vacation for Jay and everyone. Be careful while they're out there shopping, and don't kill yourself to get a, I almost said VCR, Catherine. That would have been like 30 years too late. Don't kill yourself trying to get a, I almost said DVD player. What are they getting? What are people getting now? I mean, it's, I don't even know. I mean, what's the hot item? Do you know anything about the shopping that's going on out there? What is the, I guess Christmas gifts, right? People are going crazy over and different things. What do you know about Black Friday and do you participate?
Black Friday, even normally, in normal situations, is not a day. It was a day when you tried to hug home and do right. things there and avoid the stores. In our family, and all of my family live out of state. I don't have a large family. But they said lists to Auntie to buy, and lots of those I could just buy online, and I don't have to go out into the stores. But Black Friday, is, I think, I wish we renamed it to Happy Day Friday or something.
Right,
because
positive.
Really, the season that we're beginning to celebrate, which is the birth of the Christ child, and even if one does not believe in Christ, it really is more of a period of celebration. And Black Friday just sounds so down to me. So I'd like to call it a happy holiday, and we celebrate. But we here in Springfield, the stores are always normally crowded, and but I haven't been out today, so I don't know what's really happening in the stores right now. But I've got a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you ever think about heaven? And if so, what kind of questions do you have about it? Because I was looking at some old notes in my file, and I found a note about my brother, who has been gone a number of years, that shortly after his death, his four-year-old granddaughter asked her grandmother, when is Grandpa coming back? And her grandmother had to say to her, your grandfather is not coming back. He is gone to heaven. And then this little four-year-old asked a most interesting question. And so that's why I'm thinking, having you think about it too. What do they eat in heaven?
Wow.
Now, I thought that was sort of interesting. So I did a little research, and it's amazing how many of us have questions about heaven. We believe in it, but is it wrong to sort of have a question? Like, what am I going to wear when I go to heaven?
Right.
We tease about wearing a bikini or something like that, but I really sort of would like to have a soft, golden colored silk robe. But the scriptures sort of imply that God's going to take care of our clothes and redress us. And then you have a question about, will I really recognize you, Frank, or my brother? And then I think about, well, Jesus came back from death, and what did the disciples do? They knew him. They recognized him. I have a feeling people will probably say, oh, here comes Kathy. She's got her smile on today. I hope that that's true.
Maybe
you ever have questions about heaven?
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe you just know. And again, I'll get to your question in a second, but maybe you just know there's a feeling. And, you know, maybe the apostles and that saw Jesus after his death, maybe they didn't recognize him, you know, per se, his face, but they knew his aura. They knew that he was there. We don't know, you know, we don't know exactly what that experience was. And we
know they talked to each other.
Yes, right, no doubt about it. And by then,
and we know that Thomas put his hand into his side.
Right, we know all of that. But what I'm talking about is the initial contact. Once Jesus started talking, then of course they knew it was him, and by then it was already understood and whatever. But when they first saw him or first experienced him, let's say, because I mean, again, we know everything's written and, you know, so we can understand it, but we don't know what that experience would actually be like. And
you're right.
You know, and the writers, the prophets and these brilliant people who were chosen to write the Bible and these folks, these inspired folks, they are relating to us. They are relating these experiences, these godly experiences, these heavenly experiences, to us, and maybe that's how they have to be there. So to me, heaven, I'm not sure, but I just have to believe that heaven is the greatest experience, the greatest feeling, greatest emotions that you can experience at one time. And I do believe that I will see my parents and I'll see my friends that have passed and that they will be there. They will be there for me. And I honestly believe that. I've never thought once, what would I wear? And God bless the 4-year-old who asked, what do they eat in heaven? I've never thought about that. I never have. I've never thought about that. I never thought of what I would wear. I thought more, what do they do, right? What goes on there? What kind of experiences do people...
Well, that's one of the questions. Some doubters say that they don't want to go to heaven because they think it'll be boring and tedious. And yet we say that it'll be a time of joy and celebration. I think it'll be more than just singing and listening to the angels with their happy tunes, and I love music, and so that part's great. But I think that there will be things for us to do to keep us busy and enjoying. I sort of hope there'll be a championship golf course there, because I like to play golf.
Yeah.
And then I have a friend who wants to know if his 8 cats get to go to heaven, and I don't know, but I do know that they talk about animals being in heaven. They refer to the serpents and the horses and the wolves and the lions. I don't know whether his cats will be there, but I did think the other day, you know, one of the things to keep busy, there could be a job vacancy sign that said, needed 1 zookeeper, and I might apply for the zookeeper job.
Yeah, that's terrific.
I know. My head goes in funny directions. That's just the way I am.
Let me remind folks, you're listening to LI in the AM, filling in for Jay Oliver, me, Frank McKay. Our very special guest at the moment is Catherine Ransom, and she is wonderful, and her book is just a must-read. Moments of Reflection, Courage, Engagement, Worship, and Humor, and the name of the book is Ransom Notes, and that is the tagline, and it is so true. We have a minute or two left with Catherine. Frank McKay here with Catherine Ransom, wonderful author. Let me just go back to, you know, what you were saying here. I honestly feel that that heaven is the greatest experience that one can imagine. So if someone has eight cats here on earth, and it brings them closer to the Lord, and it brings them important feelings of emotion and every, and that's what his or her love is, I have to believe those eight cats are going to be there with them in spirit or in actuality or whatever it is that we experience in heaven. And I think if someone doesn't like cats and they don't want cats anywhere near them or whatever, I have to believe that those that individual's experience will be as far away from cats as possible. I think of heaven as perfection of absolute bliss, absolute happiness, and more of an emotion than it is a place. And just pure joy, pure, as they say, it's heaven. It's heaven. And that's what I think we can expect in eternity.
And even though we have questions about it and what it'll really be like, my faith says I have absolutely no doubt that there is a heavenly place for us after we leave this earth and this earthly body. And it's just because my head loves to ask questions that I sort of wonder, you know, I just wonder, just like my four-year-old great-niece wanted to know what they ate there. And I think if we can help get kids thinking about the Lord at an early age, that's the way to say. I heard an interesting statistic the other day that people who believe in the Lord in some manner and call themselves a Christian or someone of great faith, 85% of them make that decision between the time they are 4 and 14.
Wow.
85% of us. That shows the real need that we need to make sure we're sharing our love and our knowledge of our faith with our children, with our kids. And I don't have any kids because I've never been married, but I certainly was a teacher and I still am active in the church. We have to focus on our young people, Frank, or our country is not going to have the love of the Lord helping us to be a country that's great.
Yeah, just wonderful. I mean, I agree with you 100%. And look, I have similar feelings that you have, and similar concerns. And again, 4 to 14, I think that is an absolute a critical time. And one of the things that doesn't get, you know, we talk about us developing between that time, between 4 and 14 years old, and we develop ourselves as people and as adolescents. And when you go from being a near baby at 4 years old, you're just learning. And then at 14 years old, you're, you know, a young man or a young woman already, and you're experiencing those different feelings and emotions. But many people don't talk about that, the spiritual aspect and the spiritual growth that happens between those years, those pivotal 10 years. And I think you just bring up a great point. I mean, this is, you know, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. And I agree with you. I think we should focus on helping to develop, and not that you said this exactly, but developing those young people at that age, you know, have them be aware of their beliefs, and if they're being raised Christian, and you know, we hope, that people are being whatever their religion is, whether it's whether they're Jewish or Christian or Muslim, whatever, that they're being raised in a faith that's there, but specifically to Christians, and we're coming into the holy holidays, right, of Christmas. And once we've passed yesterday, and Thanksgiving is a wonderful holiday, and you know, and again, I think Christians, and again, this isn't to isolate or alienate anyone else, but Christians have a different viewpoint at Thanksgiving than many other people do, Christmas going into I can't stand when somebody puts an X, like Xmas. It's like, well, why would you do that? The whole reason we're celebrating Christmas is to celebrate the birth of the Lord, and why would you take His name out of the holiday? I mean, look, Santa Claus is wonderful, and I'm all for teaching kids about, you know, that end of it, the Santa Claus and all this, but don't forget about Christ. Don't forget about what is going on here and what's supposed to be going on, and what we're symbolizing by giving gifts, and what this means in the first Christmas, what it was. Again, I don't want to, you know, get on a soapbox here, but I'm in complete agreement with you, and I think I think we as a society, and especially when you know, folks are practicing Christianity and teaching young people Christianity, don't forget to teach them what these holidays are really about. And I think it's just very important. Last thoughts on that, Catherine? Are you here, Catherine?
It's been good to think about this, and we need to take more time to talk about and think about what to be thankful, and how to celebrate, and how to share, and how to be joyful, and keep our attitudes on the fun side, and have a little humor. And I guess it just sort of, as we conclude here, Frank, since some of this audience is somewhat new to me, is that I just want to share a basic philosophy of an 85-year-old, that one of the bottom lines of the book and the essays that I write and wrote for the book, and that I continue to write one a week, is that I don't believe there's a single senior adult that does not have some way to share their love, to be helpful, to be active, and they just cannot just sit in their rocker and get wrinkled and white. You've got to keep doing and sharing, because the world needs us, and you will be happier if you're doing and being active, even if all it is you call someone on the phone who you think is lonely, and you have a chat together. You're keeping the mind going, and that's one of the things I'm trying to stress in so many of the little essays that I write. But it's great to talk to you.
Great to talk to you.
I just love to talk.
Same here, and I love to listen to you and to talk with you, and just wonderful. And, you know, I know different people are hearing Catherine's voice for the first time, and she's the subject of a new documentary. And again, she's worthy. She has also recently been awarded the Renaissance Woman of the Year. And she is a Renaissance woman. She is so many things. But the book that sums it all up for her is Moments of Reflection, Courage, Engagement, Worship, and Humor. Catherine Ransom, everyone, is the author of Ransom Notes. And again, Moments of Reflection, Courage, Engagement, Worship, and Humor. Frank McKay signing off. We'll see you all next time on LI in the AM.